Talking about the things of God. Amen. Our connect groups are starting up. If you guys don't know what those are, I just want to take a moment. Ty, back there, do we have a connect where we show all our different connect groups? Okay, you do have it. That's cool. So connect groups stopped during COVID because we weren't supposed to be close to people, in each other's homes, socially distancing, all that stuff. But a connect group is basically a Bible study that happens in people's homes and from place to place. And we're starting that up again because we really feel that people are not making the connections with each other that you can when you come together in homes where you pray together, you study God's word, you eat food together, and you fellowship together. So if you look here, we have different ones open, and the theme for this month is on prayer, and we're going to learn the different types of prayer, and we're going to discuss that within our group. Whether you know it or not, the Bible doesn't say there's one type of prayer, two types, or three. There's many types of prayer, and they all have different functions and different reasons, and we're going to go over that in our connect groups. But if you look here, we have them in Abington, Hanson, Abington, Norwell, Abington again, Cohasset, East Bridgewater, and some people are not going to be doing just the prayer ones, but this one in Norwell is a connect group on healing. So Lynn and Neil have gone through a season where they have battled against cancer, and they had a death sentence, but through the word of God and God is faithful, they were able to overcome in that. So they want to go ahead and teach about that. So if that's something you need more of, that's a great connect group for you to get in. This one is a young adult connect group right here that meets on Thursdays. And this one, if you're a young adult, you know, in your 20s, early 30s, you want to sign up for that and get connected with other young adults. A lot of times people are just hanging out there alone. You don't need to do that. We have a youth one if you have people, youth group. And then this is the only other one. This is a connect group on evangelism. So if you're someone who has a heart to reach out to the lost, this one actually meets every 2 weeks and not every week. So check it out. Can you put up the address again? Go back to that slide. It's living-word.net/CG. Does anyone know what CG stands for? Connect group, that's right. So if you go there, you can go ahead and sign up. We encourage everyone to do that. It's starting on September 18th. So that's like in 3 weeks. So go ahead, sign up. Let the host know that you're coming, that you're going to attend. And when you sign up, you'll get the address and things like that on where to go. Sound good, everyone? All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit here today. Father, we're hungry. God, we're hungry for you, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you fill this room with your presence. Father, that you make your word come alive to us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. So I'm going to be talking to you guys about one of my favorite subjects today. Can anyone tell me what my favorite subject is? Faith is one of my favorite subjects. It really is. And we teach that on Sunday nights. But I'm not going to be talking about faith this morning. I'm going to be talking about our eternal home in heaven. Okay? I want to talk about heaven. And to me, this absolutely is one of my favorite subjects. And so Jesus says this. He says in John 14, verse 1 through 3, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, I would not have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." So as a Christian, we have this thing called the hope of heaven, okay? And hope is different than faith. Hope is described in the Bible as an anchor, okay? So if you're in a boat and your boat begins to just kind of drift off, you throw the anchor so that you don't move away. And a lot of Christians would drift away from their walk with God if it wasn't for the hope or the anchor of heaven. It gives them, it's like, you know what, God? Things are hard. I'm persevering. Sometimes I feel like I'm alone in this thing, but I got heaven ahead of me. But for the joy that is set before you, we endure great trials and conflicts. And our joy that is set before us is our eternal home of heaven. And honestly, we probably don't talk about it enough. We don't talk about the reality of heaven. Philippians 3:19 says this, "They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about the life here on earth. If we're not careful as Christians, sometimes we can think only about what happens here on earth. And so our joy can rise and fall based on what our circumstances here, but that shouldn't be our perspective only. Verse 20, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly awaiting for him, his return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everyone under his control. So as Christians, we really need to be eternity-minded, that this is not just a short race, it's not a sprint, but if you know Jesus and you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that Christ is coming for his church so that you would be with him forever, that you have an eternal home, that God himself, his throne and his presence is in the heavens, and that we will return unto our Father one day. So we need to be eternity-minded. I think it makes you a nicer person. It makes you a more patient person. You're like, that's okay, honey. That's okay. This is just a mere little affliction. My eyes are on heaven. I'm not going to get all worried about this because that's temporal. This is earthly. This is passing away. The Bible says everything about earth is passing away. Passing away. So if you're going to build up your treasure and build up your kingdom here, it's all going to pass away. Okay? But we do have our home in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says this, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not human hands. 2 Corinthians 5:2 says, for in this we groan earnestly desire to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. And so if you're like me, you do. There's a groaning on the inside of you, a longing to be with him. There really is. It's like you want to be with your Father. And trust me, I'm not like, I want to check out of here. Things are bad. God, rapture, help. You know, I'm against that mindset. I believe that while we're here, we're to put our hands to the plow, we're to work, we're to be fruitful, and we're to bring some type of reward before the Father. Some type of labor that we do here. So I'm not trying to get out, but at the same time, there is a constant hunger to be with the Lord and to be with him. Our spirit groans because this is not your home. And no matter how comfortable you get, it's not comfortable like being in the presence of God. Amen. Heaven is our home. And so we groan on the inside for that. Does that bear witness with anyone? Does anyone have that? I know that I do. And so there have been many who have had visitations. God has actually brought people in vision form. The Apostle Paul himself said he was brought up to God, to the third heaven, before the throne of God, and he heard things that are so sacred and holy that they can't be uttered. God brought him in a vision and brought him back. And there are people, ministers, who have also been brought in vision form to heaven and brought back. There are people who had near-death experiences. They saw heaven, it wasn't their time, God sent them back, but they come and they let us know about what heaven's like. People like Robert Slearden, who was a boy and was brought to heaven in a vision. All these people have books. Jesse DePlantis was brought to heaven in a vision. John Piper was actually in a very bad car accident and was in heaven for 30 minutes before he was brought back. And so I have this prayer. It's an ongoing prayer. It's like, all right, God, you are no respecter of persons. And if you are bringing people to heaven for a tour, right? And there's like a line, count me in the line, okay? And I don't want a car accident. I don't want some type of, you know, health failure where I'm on ICU and then I slip into heaven. Just the vision kind, you know, where you go to bed and you're brought to heaven or something like that. But I'm not making that up. That's a real prayer of mine. Because if you're like me, you have a hunger to be with your Father. And that's, I don't know. So down here doesn't cut it. So as of today, is anyone in line? Anyone in line for that? Okay, you're behind me though, okay? Because I've been in line for a long time. like 20 years. I've been in line, so. But we'll all get there. Excusums. So I want to take a little bit of a different approach of how I talk about this today. And I want to take it from a first-person perspective, from your perspective, of what it's like to take that journey from Earth into heaven. And how many people know that the ultimate statistic, 100% out of 100, is that we will all die. And after that, we move into eternity. And based on our decision here and what we decided to do with Jesus will determine where we will spend eternity. There was a point in time where I did not know Jesus. And the gospel was preached to me when I was 16 years old. Even though I was a church boy and I went to church every week, I was spiritually dead. And I lived like the devil, and I would go and do my church attendance, and it had no effect on me because I was not born again. And so I heard the gospel for the first time when I was 16 years old, and I heard it repeatedly, and it did something to my heart. It was the true word of God, okay? I didn't have a bottom-of-the-barrel experience. I wasn't on skid row. I wasn't addicted to drugs. I wasn't that. Just something in the word got hold of me, and I knew I was a sinner. And the Bible says that if I died in that state, if I died as a sinner, that I'd have to stand before the judge, the God of heaven, and answer for my sins. And in my life, I had been to court before, and I know what it's like that when you stand before the judge, there's also a sentence that comes with it. And the Bible says that if we stand before the judge without the blood of Jesus and without the grace of God and the forgiveness of God, that we have to pay the price for our sins. So what we do with Jesus has everything to do with heaven. And so when I was 18, I went ahead and received the Lord Jesus, and it made all the difference in my heart. It made heaven real to me. It made my hunger for heaven real. So as I talk about this today, I just want to take a different perspective, and we're going to talk about it from the first person perspective. Your journey from here to earth into heaven. Sound good? Now, what I need you to do is I need you to listen with your spirit, okay? I don't want you to take notes. I don't want you to be in your head. A lot of people don't know there's a difference between your head and your heart, okay? Your heart is the real you, and when you listen with your heart, you get concepts from the spirit, and they're eternal, and they stay with you forever. If you're taking notes in your head, you may just forget it later because you're just trying to put it into memory. I need you to listen with your heart, okay? Because the Bible says God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, okay? So really, to understand heaven, you need to hear it from your heart, because heaven is not something that it's not something naturally comprehended, or I don't want you to naturally comprehend heaven. Let me give you an example. I do not like ticks, and I do not like mosquitoes. And to me, they have no use on this planet whatsoever, okay? You know, you find like a tick on you and it's already like swollen up and like, what is this for, right? Or you're at a party with your friends and, you know, you have mosquitoes biting you and stuff like that. What is their purpose? So I remember saying, when I get to heaven, my first question is, God, why ticks and mosquitoes? What is that all about? But how many people know after the spirit, that will be the last thing I think of? That's the natural mind. You'll see Jesus for the first time and collapse in a heap with joy and love when you see your Savior. Not ticks and mosquitoes. Isaiah 55 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So when we hear with our spirit, when we get in the spirit, when things change and all of a sudden the spirit is real to us, we begin to really begin to understand who God really is. Because we comprehend them with our spirits and not our heads. Amen? And so that's what we want. I also know this. When we talk about the atmosphere of heaven moves in. So let's comprehend and let's get this with our hearts and our spirits. Your body, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 9. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Yet we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. So the Bible's saying that when your spirit leaves your body, you are with the Lord. Amen? So right now we are here. So I want you to imagine yourself, you're laying in your bed, and you're old, you're good and old. I don't know how old you are, you imagine your own age, but you've lived a good life. And your body's not sick, you're not in a place where you have cancer or anything like that. You're just worn out, you're old, you've run your race. Your body is wearing out. You can sense the closeness of heaven. You know that your time to leave is soon. You're surrounded in a room with your family and friends, and they're all gathered around because they know it's close. And you're weak, and your eyes are dim, and things are just beginning to shut down slowly. And you're in your final moments here on the earth. And you have a strong knowing in your heart that you're not alone in this room. Yeah, your family and friends are here, but you sense the presence of angels in this room. And not only just angels, but those special angels that come to accompany the saints home to heaven. And your time is growing close, but you have no fear. Just peace. Just a peace that's beyond understanding. And your loved ones are around you, but more and more you kind of lose focus on who's there in the room. And you begin to fade out. And at that moment, as the earth kind of fades out, you become aware of this very large angel in the room. And then behind him, you see other angels. You can see them. And a smile flashes across your face, and you cry out in joy. And your family's startled, and they look at you. And just at that moment, you breathe your last breath. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As you breathe your last breath, all of a sudden, all of your senses burst to life. Your eyes, your hearing, your smelling, even senses you've never dreamed before that you have, all of a sudden come super alive, and everything is magnified. There's no tunnel of light. There's no sensation of traveling. You just simply stepped over. You stepped over from this world to the next world. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And thinking in that moment about your last moments on the earth, your death wasn't painful, it wasn't traumatic, it wasn't terrible. It was like stepping through a very delicate sheer or a curtain, so easy. And you realized that these two worlds of heaven and earth are so very close and so connected. 2 Corinthians 2:16, to one a fragrance from death to death, and from the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? You simply went from living life here to stepping into eternal life. And it wasn't a hard thing, and it wasn't a struggle. It was easy. Now, turning aside from this, I had a sister when she was 30 years old. She died. So she died young. And she was a believer. And she came to this church. She was actually here at church Sunday night. The night she died. So she died overnight. And Pastor Judy had a dream about her. And she said, I was in a restaurant, and we were in booths, and I looked over, and there was your sister. She was in a booth, and I said, hey, so-and-so, how you doing? Like, I knew she was dead. And she said something like, aren't you dead? And she goes, no, I'm not dead, I'm alive. And that was the whole dream. But something, when she told me that, something went off in my spirit. It's like, she is alive. Like we think death is not being on the earth, but in Christ there is no death. You go from life to life. So when she says, I'm alive, she is alive. In Mark 12, 26, it says, and as for the dead being raised, you have not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You simply go from life to life. The death of a Christian is not a trauma into a life of the unknown. It is a life, it is a simple passing from one place to the other in Christ. Oh, don't you want everyone to know this? Don't you? You don't want anyone to miss heaven. Nobody. Let's go back. As you contemplate your new surroundings, you realize you've never felt more alive, ever. It was like waking up from a half-sleeping dream. You feel awake. You feel alive. There's a whirring in your spirit, a joy mixed with excitement. You're in your new home. You've passed over. And as you look out onto this new world sprawling before you, you can see it all. There's a deep sense of belonging that overtakes you. You know you're home. You know you're in your heavenly home, and you know you belong there. And if someone now offered you to go back to the earth, to return to your former life, you would not take that offer. Nothing could change your mind, not all the money in the world. All the longing of your heart for your eternal home is now fulfilled. You are in heaven. Sometimes we have a loved one who dies in Christ, they die in the Lord, and then they move on to heaven. And we're like, oh God, please, you know, don't let them go, you know, bring them back, whatever. Let me tell you something, they would not want to come back even if you paid them all the money in this world. Because when you get into the presence of your Father and you're in your eternal reward, in your senses, and you're alive more than you've ever been ever, you are now focused and moving in another direction. And all you care is about Him. Amen? Amen. David said this when his baby died. He said, I can't bring the baby back to me, but I will go to him someday. Know this, that if you have someone who died in the Lord, you will see them again, and you will go to them. And trust me, they're not going to be sad or upset that they left this earth, even if it was early at all. Psalm 116, 15 says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. Isn't that awesome? Precious in his sight is the death of his godly ones, because he knows it's a homecoming. He knows that you're returning unto him. So we have a longing for the Father, but the Father also has a longing for us. And this time where we step over from life to life is precious in his eyes as well. God had your life planned out. He knew when you stepped from the temporal into eternity. And because he's a gentleman, he does not let you arrive into this heavenly kingdom alone. You notice that same large angel you saw standing in your room is now by your side, and you think to yourself, who's this angel? And just like the angel could hear your thoughts, he answers you and lets you know that he is your guardian angel. He has been with you your entire life. You were his assignment. He was to see you safely to this day. And now his assignment is coming to a close, and he will escort you to your next destination, but you are a mission complete. Matthew 8:10 says this, see that you do not despise these little ones, says, "For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Their angels. Just then, you look up and you see a crowd of happy, shouting people approaching you. It's people you knew from Earth, people who served the Lord and shined their light. You see your mother and your father. You notice that they look radiant and young, not old in how you remind them, but they look alive and young. You see your best friend from when you were in your 20s. They died in an accident, young. You see your first grade teacher, you see your ninth grade coach, all important people to you. They form this welcoming committee and they welcome you into glory. It's a great time of hugging and laughing and shouts of joy and happiness. You're just taken back so much how much God cares for you and how much he loves you. He cared for you in earth, but even when you get to heaven, you understand that his care is not ended and it's just begun. He cares about every single detail. Again, Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. Now, what I'm gonna do here, just because on Sunday mornings we don't have a lot of time, I'm gonna unhook this train and we're gonna talk about the rest of our visit next week. And we're gonna walk through what happens as we enter. There's a lot more to see, folks, and it's exciting. But as I end, I want to end with this, and our music team can come. Heaven's not an automatic thing. I remember as a new Christian, I went to UMass Amherst. They said, you have to do a report. The report is where you interview people, you take some type of survey, and then you tally up the survey, and you write a report about it. You can survey anyone, you can do any topic you want. So as a new Christian, my topic was, do you think that you're going to heaven and why? I would just ask everyone, hey, when you die, do you think you're going to heaven and why? That was my whole thing. Honestly, you guys, everyone thinks they're going to heaven. Yeah. Everyone. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to heaven. Yeah, I think I'll squeak in. Yeah, me and the big guy are tight, you know? And then you'd say, well, why? Why do you think you're going to heaven? They said, well, I'm a good person. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't robbed any banks. So there's a sense of self-righteousness, okay? And the Bible says all of us, all of our righteousness, all of our good works, all of our good deeds are as filthy rags. Not one person is innocent. Not one person is pure. All of us have sinned. All of us have missed it. All of us have a record that starts from the time when we began to know right and wrong and chose to do wrong, okay? For me, I was very young. I remember it because it was probably the day when I died spiritually. Babies are not spiritually dead. If you have a baby and they're innocent and they die, they will go to be with God and they'll see you when you come. But for me, I knew right and wrong, and I was in a checkout line with my mother, and I was young. I'm not going to tell you the age, but this is when I began to understand right and wrong. And they put all the candy and the gum at the eye level of children, right? So I saw this zebra fruit stripe gum plenty pack, okay? Not just the little one, the big thick one, okay? And it caught my attention. So I grabbed it and I put it in my pocket and I knew it was stealing. But something overtook me. And it went in my pocket, and it came home. And at nap time, I ate the whole thing. How many people know that zebra fruit stripe gum does not keep its flavor? Is that true? Do you know what it's like? It lasts about 38 seconds. And then it's like chewing cardboard. And so I'd spit it out and put another one in, and I ate the whole pack. But I knew. I still remember that to this day. That I knew right and wrong, and I chose to do wrong. So the Bible says in heaven there's a record of all the things that you've done. And without Jesus, you have to stand before God, and none of us will be innocent. None of us will say, God, here's my good works. It's like we have to wrestle with the record that we built up forever. I'll go to a I'll go pick up a pizza. So I don't live a dramatically sinful life anymore. I don't live around a lot of people who are very sinful, but now and then I'll go and I'll pick up a pizza So it might be like a bar pizza. So you'll go in and you're waiting for your pizza and there's people drinking and it's loud and, you know, but you're there to get some pizza and you hear like the foul things people joke about and say and just wickedness pours out of their mouth one after another and all that's being recorded. All the foolishness, all the wickedness. And that's the stuff we say. What about the imaginations of our heart? People wish death on people. They think bad things. They think death. They think sexually perverse things. There are people who just in their mind have racked up a record that they're going to stand before God. One of the most embarrassing things I thought of was on Judgment Day, we're going to be in a big line and we stand before God and then you come up and it's your turn and they have a huge screen in the back and they review your life. And everyone just goes and watches everything you've ever done, the good, the bad, the secret, the thoughts of your heart on a huge screen. And I thought, oh, how embarrassing is that going to be? Everyone say, but Jesus. God knew we were a mess. He knew we were a mess. And while we were dead in our sins, he sent his son Jesus to die for us. And when Jesus was put on that cross, he died and he went to the place of sinners. He went to hell to pay the punishment for you and for me. That was the gospel I heard when I was 16. I was like, whoa, this is good news. And if I die right now, I will die in my sins and I will not go to heaven. I will go to hell because I'd have to stand before God with my sins. And I'd be in cars with drunk people and young people and we'd crash the car and we'd hit stuff. And I'd be like, God, if we just died right then, I would go into eternity without you, and I would go into eternity that misses heaven. I would end up in hell with the devil and his angels. While you're on this earth, you have a moment and a time to receive heaven, to receive Jesus, to make sure, but you can't come on your good works. You need to say, God, I need a savior. I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment if you've never done that. There's a lot of people in church. Listen, just because you're in church does not make you a Christian. Just because you slept in your garage last night does not make you a car. Where you physically are does not state who you are. To be a Christian, you must make a decision to surrender to Jesus. And it's a real decision. It's something where it's like, Jesus, this is it. I'm done. I need you. We need to make a decision. Amen? And I want to give you that invitation today. If you've never done that before, or if you've done it and you only think it was just a religious decision, I was religious once. I went through the motions. Jesus wasn't my Lord, but I went to church and I had all these things. That does not save me. It's a relationship with Jesus. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. I ask you to repeat it after me, but pray it to the Father. Don't pray it to me. Forget about the person next to you. Let's close our eyes right now. Forget about who you came from. Let's make an altar. Let's pray this to God. Let's pray it from our hearts. Say this with me. Just everyone, say it with me. Say this. Dear God, I want to go to heaven, and I want to be with you, but I have sinned. I've done bad things. I've missed it, and I need forgiveness. I thank you, God, that you sent Jesus to die for me. Right now, Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse my heart. Wash away my sin. I call you my Lord. I call you my Savior. I believe that you died for me and that you rose on the third day. Thank you, Father. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 If you said that for the first time and you've made Jesus your Savior, our experience team has a packet for you. It's to help you with your next steps. We encourage you guys to do that, to grab that. Amen. Welcome to the family. If you've done that for the first time, welcome to the family. Listen. God has beautiful things for you in heaven. There's neighborhoods in heaven. There's houses in heaven. We might all live on the same street. Who knows? It's going to be good. Amen. Welcome to the family.